information at moma.org. And from the Annenberg Fund for Excellence in Communications and Education, this is NPR, National Public Radio. On the next Fresh Air, filmmaker Richard Linklater. His new film, A Scanner Darkly, about drug addiction, paranoia, and government surveillance, is based on a novel by Philip K. Dick and stars Robert Downey Jr. and Keanu Reeves. Linklater also made the films The School of Rock and Dazed and Confused. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
This is KZYX 90.7 FM Philo, KZYZ 91.5 FM Willits and Ukiah, K202BE 88.1 FM Fort Bragg, Mendocino County Public Broadcasting, listener-supported community radio. A small red pig was found last Sunday on Signal Ridge. It's cute and friendly, and Deanna has the pig, 895-2307. And a dog was found on Tuesday, July 4th at 5 p.m., south of Fort Bragg at Pearl and Highway 1. Salt and pepper healer type dog, tall with tail, still with its tail, black ear and eye. Neutered male, 1 year old with a blue collar. Terry found that dog, 964-0682. And Fresh Air was brought to you by the Boys and Girls Club of Willits. Dinner and dance benefit Saturday, July 15th, 459-4291. Stay tuned for Corporations and Democracy.
This country was created with corporate charters for Virginia, New England, even the Hudson Bay. Chartered corporations brought the slaves to labor. Chartered corporations rule the world today.
We, oh bountiful earth, we're using you up.
That was the San Francisco Mime Troupe from their CD, and they'll be returning to Point Arena on Thursday, July 20th. Welcome to Corporations and Democracy. I'm Molly Morgan, and I'm here with co-host Jan Edwards.
Hello. Corporations and Democracy is brought to you in part by our members and Encore, serving Ukiah and all of Mendocino County women. Fine consignment fashions, new and almost new women's clothing, open Tuesdays through Saturdays on Church Street in Ukiah, 463-5590.
On June 6th, Humboldt County voters passed a first-ever ballot measure banning non-Humboldt County corporations from contributing to their local elections. The measure also strips those corporations of the legal rights of a person, which is known as corporate personhood.
Our guests today are Measure T co-chair Caitlin Spokey Belknap and Treasurer Anna Clapsaddle to tell us the story of their victory. Caitlin Spokey Belknap was the spokesperson and campaign co-manager for Measure T. She's also on the steering committee of Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County, and in 2004, she was elected to the board of the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District. Hello, Caitlin.
Hi.
Hi,
Dan and Molly. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Hannah Clapsaddle is part of the Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County Collective Steering Committee. She took the role of treasurer for Measure T, and she's a member of the Green Party of Humboldt County Central Committee, and she grew up in Mendocino County. Hello, Hannah.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Well, so glad to talk to both of you. Well, first of all, and thanks, congratulations on your victory. What was the final vote tally, and can you tell us what Measure T does?
Well, Measure T won by 55%.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and what it will do is prohibit non-local corporations from contributing money to local elections in Humboldt County.
Now, non-local corporations, what's that?
Non-local corporations are defined as any corporation that has any shareholders outside of the county or any employees outside of the county or is not headquartered in Humboldt County, or is their primary place of doing business is not in Humboldt County, or if the corporation is owned by another corporation, then that's a non-local corporation.
So a mom-and-pop grocery store where everybody who was involved with the corporation was in Humboldt County would be able to give?
Right. They're exempted from the law.
Uh-huh.
And why did you all feel that Humboldt County needed a Measure T?
Well, we had a very blatant example of corporations using the electoral process to kind of try to restructure our county so that it was more beneficial for them to make money. In 2003, Pacific Lumber, which is owned by Maxam Corporation, tried to recall our district attorney, who had just been elected and had started a suit against them for a faulty timber plan, or a timber plan that they had basically lied on. And lo and behold, they turned around and instituted a recall campaign against him. And the county rallied, and people got together and fought that off. But it wasn't before Maxam had poured over $250,000 into that effort. So we did end up keeping our district attorney, but it was just this blatant example of how corporations claiming rights and claiming First Amendment protections was allowing them to just pour money into the electoral process to distort it in Humboldt County.
And yet, it the stress of this measure was really not about corporations, but about local democracy, yes?
Well, the messaging that we chose to talk about Measure T was all about local control, because that's something that's really important to people of Humboldt County and, you know, in Mendocino as well. We're rural areas, and we really take care of each other and have a sense of pride about our community. And local control is something that really resonates, and so that was why, you know, we made an exemption for local corporations, because it really wasn't about that all corporations are bad, but it was about, you know, wealthy people should not be able to use corporations to manipulate the electoral process. That's supposed to be the place where we, the people, decide who is going to represent us in government or pass laws in the case of initiatives, and corporations have been using that process as a way to push their economic agenda through on communities. And we also saw in 1999 Walmart financed a ballot initiative in the town of Eureka to try and come in and change the zoning laws, and that's something that happens in communities across the country, and that's now Walmart's kind of method of choice to insert themselves in a community, and that just shouldn't be a thing that's available to them. Corporations are not, they're not supposed to be involved in the democratic process. That's for people.
So given all of this activity, we're understanding that the law went into effect just yesterday, and what's the current status of it?
Well, so far so good. we're really excited that it's gone into effect, and we're foreseeing that it'll actually first be tested in this coming November. Candidates will first have to abide by it and not take contributions from outside corporations. That's the next election that it would apply to.
But hasn't this already been decided in the courts? What makes you think you have the authority to do this?
Well, we wrote Measure T in a way so that it should fall within what the courts have said is that communities would have a right to restrict corporate involvement in elections if that involvement is found to be undermining citizen confidence or creating the perception of corruption. And so we wrote the findings from previous court cases that talked about this issue, Supreme Court cases and also lower federal courts. And we wrote those findings into Measure T. And so when we voted on it, the citizens of Humboldt said, "We believe that corporate contributions are undermining our confidence. They are undermining our confidence, and that's why we're passing this measure." So we've written a law that should fall within the exception of it's called the Bellotti case. That's the Supreme Court case where the Supreme Court overturned a Massachusetts law that prohibited corporate involvement in ballot initiatives. But, you know, I mean, the courts, we think, are wrong on the issue of whether corporations should be allowed to contribute to elections, and are wrong about giving corporations rights. And so part of what Measure T is about is building, you know, part of a larger movement of citizens across the country who are challenging this idea the same way that citizens had to challenge the idea that women were not people, and the courts upheld that, and that slavery was legal, and that segregation was legal. And so we think that, you know, the courts, there's always room for the courts to be forced to change their mind, basically. And, you know, nothing is written in stone. This is supposed to be a democracy, and if the people need to change the law, then the law gets changed. That's how it's supposed to work.
I'm looking here at a pie chart, a series of pie charts of a polling that you did before you even wrote the law to find out, actually you took the pulse of your county to find out what people really felt about this.
Yeah, that was a scientifically conducted poll that we did in cooperation with a grad student up at Humboldt State University. And yeah, we found before we even started, you know, shopping the law around, that almost 80% of voters in Humboldt County felt that the democratic process was undermined when corporations were contributing to elections. So, I mean, that's a lot of where our authority to do this comes from. And then Caitlin put it so well, you know, in a democracy, we are the authority, we are the people, and these changes that need to correct poor decisions made by the Supreme Court, they do come from the grassroots movements. They do come from the bottom up.
If anyone would like to look at that pie chart or read the actual Measure T document, you can go to www.votelocalcontrol.org. That's www.votelocalcontrol.org. Some of you may want to be following along as we're talking about this. So, also, just so that people don't recall, if they don't recall, there were two famous cases in the Supreme Court, Buckley versus Vallejo, where basically money was equivalent to speech. That was the decision of the Supreme Court, and Boston versus Bilotti, where corporations were given the right to give unlimited money to overturn referenda. So these are the two major cases that you're kind of running up against in this case, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And as you and Molly well know, these cases are some in a long line of corporations gaining rights that were meant for people. But I think that, you know, I mean, first of all, it's silly that money should equal speech. And then making the jump that corporations should be treated as people and that the money they spend should be treated as speech. I mean.
But a couple of weeks ago, the Supreme Court ruled on a case in Vermont. Do you feel that new ruling will affect this?
Well, I mean, it seems like it's kind of the same thing as before. I mean, Vermont had laws that had that were limiting the amount that candidates could spend in campaigns in an effort to try and keep campaigns less costly, and so people who with less money could run for office, and or less access to rich people could run for office. And the court overturned that law and said that it was a violation of First Amendment rights of candidates to spend money, and then also there were campaign contribution limits, and they also said that those were too restrictive. But they had a very divided, you know, there were multiple arguments that the court made, and, you know, one person argued that, you know, money doesn't equal speech, and basically that they should overturn the Bilotti decision, and two people argued that campaign limits of any kind restrict speech and that there should never be any contribution limits. And I mean, I think what it just shows is that the courts, how wrong the courts are and how ridiculous of a situation we're in, where meaningful campaign finance reform isn't really possible if corporations claim rights. But there are some differences in our law. I mean, one, we passed it with the voters, so the people directly voted on this, whereas the Vermont law was passed by the legislature. And I think that, you know, the case could be made that that's a more powerful statement to that issue of is corporate contributions undermining citizen confidence? Well, the citizens voted to pass this law. And also, you know, because we have the findings from the Bilotti decision where we, you know, use the exact example that the court said would make it possible for a community to pass a law, and we put that in our law, you know, we'll be making a different argument. But again, you know, Measure T is about building a broader movement to ultimately, you know, force the courts to relook at their decision and to make the case, whether the courts agree with us or not, that if money equals speech, then the people with more money are the ones who have more access to the First Amendment. And that, to me, flies in the face of what our Bill of Rights is about and what this, you know, what our country is supposed to be about. And so, you know, this is about the long haul, not just the quick fix. And, you know, we're hoping that other communities will pass a similar measure so that we can build a broader voice that is calling into question these decisions made by the courts.
So speaking of the voters and the people's input into this, there is an interesting section in the ordinance that I want to read for the listeners, and I'm wondering if you can explain why you included this. You've listed some sources for the authority that are guaranteed to the people of Humboldt County from relevant state and federal constitutions and laws, and you have this quote: "The people's historical memory of Article 7, Section 8, found in the California Constitution for almost a century, from 1879 to 1972, which stated, 'The exercise of the police power of the state shall never be so abridged or construed as to permit corporations to conduct their business in such a manner as to infringe the rights of individuals or the general well-being of the state.' And this is no longer in there. And so why did you all include this in Measure T?
Well, I think this goes back to what Caitlin was talking about movement building. And that language came from a constitutional convention in California during the time when corporations were just starting to try to get personhood and those kind of rights. And people came together and said, look, we got to put some laws here in place so that our institutions, which are creatures of government, are not governing us, but we are in control of them. And there was language like this in every state's constitution, but it's been purged out over time. But I think, you know, the people's historical memory, going back to some of this good defining law that put our institutions under the people's control, we need to go back to some of that.
And also, you know, part of why we ran this measure, Hannah and I both work for Democracy Unlimited, and the work that Democracy Unlimited is about teaching people the history of U.S. Corporations and how it is that they have come to power, and reminding people that there have been movements in the past that have totally understood the problem with giving property rights and how that makes it so that we can't actually practice governance effectively, because you have these institutions that's definition is to amass profit. I mean, that's what a corporation has to do. That's what everybody in the corporation is obligated to do, is maximize profit for the shareholders. They can be sued or fired if they don't. And you give something like that rights, well, and make it so that government can't put meaningful restrictions on these entities because that's a violation of their alleged rights. So we lose control of our democracy, and there have been movements in the past that have fought against that, and we've forgotten that history, and it's really important that we be reminded of it, and that we, you know, not give up or say, oh, this is a new problem. I mean, this is something that's been going on, and there were solutions to it, and people were, as Hannah said, working on, you know, putting in their constitutions rules about how corporations could be conducted and what government was for and who it was for, and we've lost sight of that, and we need to get back to that. And also, you know, Measure T is actually based on a law that was on the books in Wisconsin until the mid-50s that said it was a felony for a corporation to contribute anything of value to any political campaign. And Measure T sounds so, you know, cutting edge and revolutionary, but this is just based on a law that was on the books in many states and was just the standard status quo. But corporate lawyers were able to effectively argue that those laws violated corporate rights, so they've been stripped away. But, you know, we have something that we can look back to. We don't have to start from scratch.
Right. It hasn't always been this way. And in case anybody's curious about that movement, one of the largest democratic movements in U.S. history is the populists, and I encourage everybody to look into them.
Well, I was pretty impressed to find out how you have built your own little movement around Measure T. Not only did you take the name Measure T and connect it to the Boston Tea Party. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, when we measure is just assigned to you by the county. It just goes in order of the alphabet. So we didn't have any control over being Measure T, but when we were assigned it, you know, it was something that we kind of were thinking about, you know, well, what are we going to do with this letter? And, you know, and what we ended up thinking of was, well, you know, this is kind of like the Boston Tea Party. I mean, it's the hidden history of the Boston Tea Party. People don't remember or know that, you know, it wasn't really so much an act against the crown. It was also an act against the largest multinational corporation in the world, the East India Company. And the whole reason why people were so outraged is because government was acting in favor of this company and setting up taxes on any other company and to try and favor this one corporation that incidentally also had the largest army in the world and was a huge player, and all the members of government were shareholders in this company. And so it's kind of like the situation that we have now, where we have all these corporations that actually have more wealth than many countries in the world. And that was what the colonists were so outraged about, and so they had a massive act of civil disobedience, that, and they threw, you know, millions of dollars worth of tea into the harbor. And, you know, we learned that history, and kids in New England especially dress up and, you know, reenact the moment, and it was act of, you know, huge democratic power against the corporation. And so we wanted to, again, remind people of that history. So we made all these little tea bags and passed them out to people, and, you know, it had information about Measure T, and it was kind of amazing how popular they were and how people were so willing to, they won't take a flyer out of your hand or a brochure, but if you hand them a tea bag, they're all about it, and people would say how cute it was, and it was really effective, and it got the message across, and it was a nice way to be able to remind people of that history without preaching at them. And it was an interesting thing, and I know lots of people saved their tea bags, so they won't forget the story.
Well, Molly and I went up to Humboldt to observe and to help in the final days, and we made a lot of those tea bags.
Thank you.
So I just handed one to our engineer Burton to have a look at while we were talking about it. They were very a very good organizing tool, and it was very appropriate, I think, to bring up the Boston Tea Party in that situation. I